One of the greatest non-profit organizations in the country, started in 1997, takes up to 250 young children, puts them into a band, and they practice after school. There are currently 10 bands all over South Africa, the Field Bands, and the Field Band Foundation organizes all of this. And they're in mostly peri-urban and rural areas, really poor parts of the country. And these field bands are run by young local leaders, and they teach and they motivate. And they really are role models for the rest of the members. And there are 2,800 members, I think, across South Africa. And there's no sort of formal learning of music. It's all by ear. So they've got to learn really, really quickly. And they do township jazz and local music and film scores. And it's just festive and fabulous and brilliant. And I got a note today from somebody who said, I am a supporter of the Field Band Foundation. You've got to see what these kids in Tembisa have done. They've gone and volunteered to do a cleanup. Regional Operations Manager at the Field Band Foundation in Joburg is Paul Mongwe. Paul, what have these young people from in the Tembisa area, what did they do? And they must have made the call yesterday, but it was completely off their own bat, I'm told.
Yeah, Bruce, thank you, man. We had these youngsters who are coming from the communities of Soweto, Alex and Springs, who said, yes, we can, answering to the call of going to help in this cleaning campaign at the Tembisa Plaza.
And I've been sent lots of pictures of these youngsters dressed in red outfits and armed with brooms and mops and shovels and all sorts of things, and doing a really, really good job of what some of the other South Africans have done today. But these are youngsters. These are teenagers. I look at the pictures and I just see an extraordinary amount of sort of community responsibility in them.
Yes. To us, it's a very good opportunity that we took yesterday when we got a poster saying, look, we are looking for people who can come and help with the cleaning. And we saw the opportunity of the Field Band Foundation, because one of the things that the Field Band impact statement speaks about healthy young people who are opportunity ready, who are contributing towards inclusive society. So it was an opportunity for us to take it. It took us 10 to 15 minutes to organize a team that was ready in the morning to say, yes, we can, to say hashtag no to riots. And we went in, the community welcomed us. We had other small community members who came in, and we all cleaned up, and we have put a smile back to the community of Tembisa.
It's a fantastic story, Paul. Thank you for sharing with us. Paul Mongwe, Regional Operations Manager for the Field Band Foundation. They get a lot of corporate money, a lot of corporate support them, and there is a really wonderful feeling around the Field Band Foundation. Ordinarily, they've just gone up in your estimation, I hope, 1,000 times. It's really nice to see. Well, we had finally Titi this evening, and Jacko Marie and Elmar Conradi, all leaders of businesses in their own right, all talking to us this evening about the need for corporates to step up and to help restore confidence. And get Jacob Marie saying local business really has to be the first to reinvest in this economy. International investors will be sitting on the sidelines and watching and waiting. Well, it's so interesting to see some of the responses that are coming into the public domain from corporate leaders. Mitch Slape, who is the American chief executive of Massmart. He was put into the job by the controlling shareholder Walmart, and he's been writing to his staff every evening since Monday. His most recent letter, which I found online today, saying, dear Massmart colleagues, it often happens in difficult situations that our emotions can go from very high to quite low. I feel a little like that yesterday when I wrote that the police were restoring order at our River Horse Distribution Center in KwaZulu-Natal, only to hear later in the evening that the DC had been breached and set alight. The loss of the River Horse DC was a tough blow. The good news is we have sufficient capacity in our current distribution center network to fill the gap. We are also in a very fortunate position. And he continues, and he really acknowledges the problem, but then also provides a sense of hope and also put huge praise on the staff of Massmart, who've faced really, really difficult times. Many people would have been massively apprehensive, of course, about going to work in Macro stores across the country. Also, somebody else who's grasping the nettle as it comes to providing some sense of semblance of hope about the future is the co-founder of M&C Saatchi Abel. His name is Mike Abel. He's on the line to us this evening. And you too, Mike, have been writing to your staff, because I suppose that's, as a business leader, that's where it's got to start. Only once you've got your team re-coalesced and refocused can they start having any influence outside the business.
Absolutely, Bruce. Good evening. I think the thing that is most important is there's so much confusion out there at the moment. You know, we've come out of the grips. Well, we haven't come out of the grips. We are in the grips, I guess, of 18 months into a global pandemic. And here is another onslaught, unanticipated from left field. And how does one see the wood for the trees? What does one make of it? What does one do? And how does one direct one's energies in a positive direction versus crumbling?
And there's a huge amount of schadenfreude, which you draw attention to in a Facebook post of South Africans who've moved abroad, sort of some not quite saying, I told you so, but there is a tone of that. And it's just a case of it's quite dispiriting. And again, you putting into context your own experience of having felt really negative about South Africa to, you know, around the time that Jacob Zuma came to power, maybe just before, and going off to Australia and coming back within a year, realizing that, you know, the grass may have been greener, but it was full of manure. It wasn't all that was cracked up to be.
Yes, well, I think that, you know, most often when people emigrate, and I'm taking absolutely nothing away from people that decide to do that and that are happy on either side, but a lot of people leave, they don't go to, and so they don't actually understand, you know, they give up everything that they know and love, frequently for everything that they don't. And so it's, for me, when I started getting messages like, you know, get the hell out of there, or, you know, the things that, you know, hover around, we told you so, or we so pleased we left, or whatever those things might be, you know, as you said, you know, it's a combination of schadenfreude and again, I guess a sense of self-satisfaction, you know, when people are Job's comforters around something like this. But the expat community is a very powerful and a very influential community, and they could be contributing an enormous amount to South Africa right now, not just in terms of emotional support, but also in terms of financial support, big or small. You know, most people that have left still have family here. You know, South Africa is still their identity, whether they like it or not. The smell of a bra, the Boca playing rugby, Boltong, and all of the things that they try and buy in the shops in Sydney or in Toronto are from South Africa. So there's a very positive role that they could be playing right now in contributing to South Africa, in bolstering our spirits. You know, we're not looking for judgment or for sympathy. We're looking for help. And there's a big opportunity for people to help right now.
And I mean, it's an opportunity also for people domestically to find solutions to problems. I just wonder what role you think the advertising industry in this time can do to communicate messages of hope, of optimism.
Yes, well, I think that the advertising industry and marketing and communications industry, first and foremost, are problem solvers. You know, we look at what is the consumer behavior that we want to affect. What do we want people to think, and what do we want people to do in a constructive way? So one of the things that my agency developed totally proactively was the Defeat Day Zero campaign. When Cape Town was running out of water and when there was 10% in our dams, we thought the messaging around Day Zero being inevitable was completely wrong, because the behavior could drive would be hoarding and greater storage of water. What we needed to do was to drive down consumption, and we did that very effectively together with the DA at the time. And when you look at where we are right now, what we need to do is to get people thinking positively, proactively, and contributing. And as you heard from the gentleman, or the gentleman you interviewed just before me, you know, hope is coming from the most unlikely places right now. You know, the taxi organizations understanding what it means, you know, if a mall burns down, what does it mean for their business? What does it mean for jobs and livelihoods? And so I think as South Africans start to realize that you can't eat a television set and you can't eat free T-shirts and people are going to starve, you're going to start thinking, if you are a retailer, how am I going to get food to those communities? How am I going to build relationships? How am I going to be useful? For me, that's the one word, Bruce, right now, is being useful. And there's a lot of stuff that we can do if we liberate our minds to being proactive, and rather than bemoaning the situation, rather thinking, you know, we are in a downward spiral, turn that thing around, fight back.
It's all a choice. Thank you, Mike Abel, co-founder at MNC Saatchi Abel, this evening on The Money Show.